When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep-fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 671, The Spider-Man.
Yeah. Not into the Spider-Verse. Yeah.
And I guess if you're listening to this show, I mean,
You know.
Yeah. They've been screaming spoilers everywhere.
Yeah, if you're listening to a show called Real Spoilers.
Spoilers in our title.
About a movie that's heavily spoiler-rich.
Like, I don't feel bad.
No.
Like, that's... Yeah.
Hopefully you didn't roll right into this from Age of Adeline or something.
Right. Yes. Oh, one of our most popular episodes of all time.
Yeah. Which I think it is.
For whatever reason.
We still don't know why.
I think that like...
It came out
right before Age of Ultron.
Right.
Yep, so you got all the people that actually wanted to listen to Age of Adeline, people looking for Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
And it just all combined into one.
It's the perfect storm.
They were smart. You know, it's like when people do SEO and write copy for certain keywords and stuff. Like Age of Adeline timed that perfectly,
but not really, because it's a totally different demo.
No, okay, but I'm just saying, like, but just to get hits and the title to pop up, I don't know, it's bizarre the way that worked out. I mean, it worked, obviously. I don't think they came to us for Age of Adeline like on purpose.
I would concur. Yes.
No, that definitely did not happen.
I would agree wholeheartedly. So I guess before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, wherever you get a podcast. Not Spreaker.
Okay,
we're boycotting Spreaker.
It died. I swear, like, that was a thing, and you added us to Spreaker, supposedly. Come to find out, someone said we're not on Spreaker.
I don't know then.
How
man.
Does that...
I thought you were, like, the main investor in Spreaker.
I feel like I've been living a lie, because I've been purposely mentioning it to try to boost my stock. Come to find out, I'm not on it. I probably don't even own it at this point.
And it's got to be doing better than Google Podcasts.
Easily.
I saw the numbers for Google Podcasts, like... For the other show,
yeah.
For the clip out, and it was like 75 downloads
for
the
month. If the clip out is doing 75 downloads, Real Spoilers is doing 3.
Yeah,
maybe.
Just like, I was like, oh.
Can podcasts do negative downloads? Yeah. Can they say, take some of these other ones off?
They can download it and then undownload it. Yeah.
They push it back into their phone.
Yeah. I think they delete it off the server.
Yeah.
They're like, this is not necessary.
So, shameless plugs. We can also, while you're there finding your podcast, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Real Spoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Chris Valls, who pointed out once again that Facebook is bad.
Why?
It wasn't notifying me that he was sharing episodes.
Oh.
And so thank you for pointing that out. Heather Sachs, Brent Smith, Christopher Rex, That's a new one. Hello, Christopher. Tammy Sherman Powers, David Rojas, Julianne Jordan, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Williams, Colby Mack, Linda Wright, Spoiler Piece Theater, Kathia Woods, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Chris Wilson, Ronnie Castle, In Session Film, Feelin' Film, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Minority Report, and Mike and Oscar. So thank you so much for sharing an episode. And finally, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out, and that's really nice of you.
I'm talking to my wife.
Oh, dear.
And we...
Are you in trouble?
No.
Do you have to leave?
No.
We've been through this before.
We might... Yeah, I know. We've all been like kind of in this situation at one point on this podcast before. We might be doing like a breakdown of Hawkeye. Like, she actually sat down and watched Hawkeye.
Holy cow.
Last episode, I think, is this week.
You have a wife that wants to be involved in your hobbies?
I'm not saying she's... I've broached the subject. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Interesting.
But if we do it, we're going to put that on the page.
It sounds like one of those little things that kind of snowballs. Like, Joe's like, I mentioned there's a show called Hawkeye, and I mentioned I do a podcast. My wife acknowledged I exist. She's going to do the podcast on Hawkeye.
He's been working on this in a long time. This is the same... This is the same way normal men are like. Some chicks are into girls. I mean, I don't know. That's your jam. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Look, we can try if you really want to. No, I
would hate for you to go through life just wondering what that would be like.
I purposely started the show with her in the room because I knew if I could get her for like just give me 5 minutes. She would start watching the show, and it worked.
Yeah.
And now she's like, is there a new episode of Hawkeye? I'm like, no.
Yeah, Crystal's been liking it.
Comes out on Wednesday. So if
she,
I can
she
talk
did not
her into
like
it.
WandaVision.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Which is
I was
really
like
good.
Indifferent on it.
I liked it.
It's still my favorite.
It just did. And so when we started Hawkeye, I was like, I want to watch it because it's Christmas time, and I don't want to watch this in February. So
sure,
like,
sure.
And she's like, okay.
She watched some of Loki, too, but she also is a big fan of Tom Hiddleston, so
gotcha.
That worked.
Everybody's wife watched Loki. I hate to break it to you. But.
We did get an email from somebody that listens to the show. Their wife emailed in, and we kind of, you
was
know.
Was it your wife?
It was not my wife.
Requested
no.
to be on the show for Hawkeye?
Jackie Dowdy emailed us and kind of said, you know, that her husband, Tom, who I think we've talked about before.
Yeah, I think we talked about him in the last one because he's talking about how many episodes
correct.
He had listened to consecutively.
So he wasn't lying. He has people writing in telling us how much he loves the show.
His wife said he listens every day and he's logged in 5,000 hours of Real Spoilers podcast, which
amazing.
Is just bonkers. And I love you for that.
That must be on his Spotify.
Has rap. To be. There's no other way.
Amazing.
So she asked that we give him a quick shout out for Christmas and give him, you know, a big pat on the back for sticking through 5,000 hours of Real Spoilers. So Tom, not O'Keefe. Fantastic job.
Yeah.
Stay warm
Tom
out there.
I haven't listened
you know.
To 5 minutes of this show.
No, I'm not listening Tom, now.
Yeah. Tom's probably playing Bubble Witch Saga. We can't see what he does on his computer,
man,
but I know he's
I've moved on to Best Fiends. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. And do you have to disclose hashtag ad? Yeah, you can't just go throwing that around taking their money.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not an advertiser anymore, but I still play it.
There we go. Very good.
Oh,
wah,
no.
wah, wah, wah.
I got sucked in. So
that's how they get you.
That's my game of choice now.
So, Tom. Stay warm.
I shared a screenshot of my Best Fiends when we were doing it. Like somebody was talking about. I was like, "Oh, here's what level I'm on." I shared it, forgetting that they had given us all sorts of like
power ups
in game credit. And so somebody was like, "How do you have like 37 days of free play? Like, how is
what do you?"
I was like, "They might have given us free." Time to play.
What do you mean?
Like, whoops. Sorry.
So yeah. So Tom, stay warm. Thank you for listening for as long as you have. You're one of our favorite fans.
Yeah.
Because if somebody else can say that they've listened to 5,000 hours of Real Spoilers,
that's a lot. Man.
I challenge them to.
That's a whole lot.
We'll shout them out too.
I don't know what's he gonna do when he's caught up.
I don't know.
Start at one.
You start at one. Just restart the whole thing.
Clip out. We'll get him on a Peloton.
There you go.
I think
I like
he's
it.
A postal worker. He's getting his
steps in.
He's getting his cardio in
for sure. In Pennsylvania, definitely.
Yeah.
So there we go. So there you go.
Yes. So anyway, I guess that's all that. Let's dig into Spider-Man.
I have
one complaint about Spider-Man.
I have a couple.
I have one complaint.
Okay.
What is it?
In the early, maybe not the very opening, but real close to the opening, there's a montage, and you see J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
And he's broadcasting in front of a green screen.
In a basement.
In a basement. Like, basically, his cell phone is capturing
which is great.
Which is a funny gag.
Yep.
And then for the entirety of the movie, it's a whole news network with mobile units and
I completely
multiple
agree
cameramen.
With you.
And I was just like, what are we doing?
What
like,
happened?
You just set up he's a loser in his basement. And then for the rest of the movie, it's like a real deal news network.
Yep, I agree with you.
Do you really think so, though? Because I feel like what they're trying, I mean, some of the, there are very similar real operations like that. And they do have money, despite you'd think, like, who's giving this person money? But they look like they're doing it in a little home studio. But they do have, like, a crew and a cameras that
go
out.
But
they,
there's a shot early in when they're showing a montage of, like, what's happened. And
he's, like, sitting in front of a green
screen.
He's
sitting like, in his basement.
Yeah, sure.
But then the rest of the time, like, it's a, there's like, two professional camera with cameramen that,
he's
like,
on, like, a set.
On rope. And it's a full-on set.
I see.
It's not... So it's like
they went with that kind of joke like at first for the last movie even like to carry in, and then for some reason with this movie they stepped it up and gave him a different
Stadium. And this movie takes place within minutes of the last movie, it's not like it's been 2 years in movie time since the last.
Like
he
got fame and fortune for reporting on Spider-Man,
right?
Or something.
So I mean, it's a small quibble.
Sure. Well, other that's than, your, I have yeah, that's
other,
your biggest
other
problem.
Than that, this is basically a perfect comic book movie.
Yeah, I don't you. I have the other quibble is, well, you know, I'm just gonna say it now. It's the Venom thing.
No, the Venom thing's great.
No, it's not. Right, he is gone. But then why would that little piece stay? Why would if Eddie Brock and the symbiote get zapped out, right? Why would that little piece on the bar stay behind?
Well, the symbiote is not a person.
But it's a living entity from that universe.
Right, but maybe it could stick behind because it's
Look,
not.
I don't care. And here's why I don't care.
Say it.
Because it gets Tom Hardy
out
of this universe.
That's exactly right.
And it gives you Venom.
Marvel some. But I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, that little thing where, like, the entire character blips out.
But he's not a person, so I think there maybe could be at least for some
bookie
explanation.
I completely agree that somehow Marvel swindled Sony into
giving them Venom, but not their Venom.
So like, you want us to keep making these Spider-Man movies? Yeah. Like, you know, you own the rights to it, but we've made these. And have you seen the box office?
Yeah, right.
It's also funny because jumping ahead to the post-credit scene or the mid-credit scene, because the post-credit scene is a waste of time.
Yeah.
But the mid-credit scene, when you get Tom Hardy in the bar, that it's okay. It's just like, even. Like, that's the first time I've ever enjoyed Tom Hardy as Venom.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I thought that scene was...
His performance was
relatively amusing for what it was. And, I mean, also nice that it was, like, 3 minutes of him and he was gone.
I wonder if the Venom guy filmed it, because it's, I guess, probably the same location. You would think they would just film that at the same time.
But I think a different guy wrote it.
It's a Marvel guy that wrote it.
A Marvel guy wrote is my guess.
For them to do during
Because that was actually, like, kind of amusing. I was like, this isn't awful.
That interaction felt like a Marvel interaction between him and the bartender.
Well, and Tom Hardy's a good actor.
Yeah.
The Venom movies are just terrible.
Right. Yes.
So it's like, it's not like we're like, oh, Tom Hardy sucks. No, Tom Hardy rules. It's the Venom
movie. But that it is insane that they were just like, yeah, we'll put him in that movie.
Yeah. That was great because the worst, I mean, there's a lot of bad things about Venom too, but one of the worst things was, oh my God,
we're bringing him into
the MCU.
Right.
And then they, next movie, undo that.
Yeah.
And
immediately,
I think that's
they
fantastic.
Immediately undo it. But that means, right, that Eddie Brock, we know that there is an Eddie Brock in the MCU somewhere.
Sure.
We're going to get a traditional Venom Spider-Man story, I assume in Spider-Man 4.
Right. Jesus. And also the problem with incorporating Venom into the Marvel universe has always been,
how do we do it?
How do you do it? Because in the comic books, it came in through Secret Wars,
and in the animated series, it is attached to like a spaceship flown by Jameson's son.
Probably with this Guardian stuff. I mean, we're into so much cosmic stuff now; it's going to come.
And Secret
in
Wars,
through.
Its backstory is so entangled with Secret Wars that you basically have to create a whole new story to bring Venom in and still have it be because if you want to do the version where Spider-Man gets this black suit and at first he thinks it's great and then you know, it, especially because like now they couldn't get away with it. But originally, when he got the black suit at first, like the it was presented as problematic, right? Like it was originally kind of presented as like, oh, he got this suit and this gives him these extra powers. Oh, this will be fun for, you know, and
then it got worse.
And then it, there's like the twist of like, oh no, this is not a good thing.
Right. It's like the monkey's paw or something.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah. You got all this great stuff.
He's stronger. He's faster. Yeah. He doesn't need web fluid anymore.
Right.
It's also taking him crime fighting while he's asleep.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. That's bad.
But I guess that's how they're going to get it to us though. We don't need space or anything. They literally brought it from him.
It's brilliant.
It worked out to where you don't have to do a backstory.
Right.
If you want to find out, you can kind of figure out where Venom
you can
came
go
from.
Watch that 3-minute clip.
And he's in.
Right.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah. It's brilliant. This, but let's rewind to the beginning of the movie.
This movie starts off really fun. Like, I love that it just starts off with, I mean, besides from him being discovered.
Messed up.
And people saying he's a murderer. But then when he grabs MJ and they're swinging through the city and she's screaming.
Yeah.
And he puts her down on the top of a bridge. Are you okay? No. And she's balancing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fun, you know? And her, like, the handy cam, like, you know, a GoPro shot of her, like, freaking out while he's like, sorry.
Right, right.
Like, the humor is just, it's so good, you know?
Yeah.
It's so entertaining from the get. And I love that when they set you up with that tone where you're like, oh, this is what we're doing, you know? From jump.
Well, it's... Is it safe to say that this is probably Marvel's most ambitious movie? And what I mean by that is like just getting the rights and making everything work, you know, like bringing the multiverse idea.
Well, they don't have to get the rights because Sony has them all.
Well, like making the deal, like making a deal with Sony like that, I feel like was insanely hard.
I think that their most ambitious movie is still probably Endgame.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
But aside from Endgame, because there was so much to set up and all
it's
that.
It's a different kind of ambition.
I think this is incredible, and I still can't believe this movie happened. Like,
yeah.
The fact that they brought in two other series, they got a Spider-Man series, two reboots, all the villains and heroes, mixed them all together,
they basically made one movie a sequel to three franchises.
You got an ending to two franchises, and
here's the question. Just the business guy in me. When you're selling your box sets or your bundles, technically Spider-Man 4 and Amazing Spider-Man 3, as well as
Spider-Man
3. Home
Coming.
Series 3.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Like, throw them together.
Now they're all in the same box set because they exist together.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
It literally goes 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, but 3 is the sequel to the other two.
Right. Yeah. It's like if you want to buy the Tobey Maguire complete set, box set, like where does that land?
That's, you know? And so
spoilers, he's in it.
Scream Factory has done two beautiful box sets of the Halloween franchise and Friday the 13th. If I were Disney, whoever, that's what I'm doing. One giant box set.
Spider set
that's got everything in it.
Yeah, but I hate to tell you, but Disney is Disney, and they will put out their own beautiful
correct.
Box set.
Yes.
They're not going to Scream Factory.
I mean Disney.
They're not paying anyone
Scream
else
Factory's
for
like, can we have that?
Yeah, they would. Scream Factory would love to get a cut of Marvel stuff. Yeah.
So it starts, picks up right where we left off in Far From Home. He gets home, Spidey gets home, and of course he's pulling down shutter. This Happy and Aunt May have broken up, which is just like
it's
another
really
very
funny
scene.
I mean,
where they are, you know, he's like, you want to try? And she's like, no, this is a fun little fling. And we flung and it was fine.
Yeah. Poor Happy.
And then so Peter gets arrested for the feds, the Department of Damage Control, which
he gets
is
questioned,
new.
Right? He's not really arrested. They bring
he's
him in
brought
for
him in for questioning.
And this he never actually gets convicted of anything
because of his lawyer.
So I guess he got, yeah, exactly. But like, you know, because you think at first, like, well, they've got Mysterio and he says this on camera, but you know, if you have a good enough lawyer.
Yeah. And of course the scene in the trailer that everybody kept talking about was his lawyer is the scene in the bullpen where the person slams the paperwork down and they're like, that's Daredevil. That's got to be Daredevil. And of course, Kevin Feige's like, nope, that's not Daredevil. And he's not wrong.
Yeah.
It's the next scene when Charlie Cox walks on scene, Netflix's Daredevil, as Matt Murdock, as the lawyer. This was my favorite part of the movie because this just means everything's in play.
Well,
right.
Right.
What a great moment. And one of my only complaints with the movie is there wasn't more Daredevil.
I agree. I would love more
when
Daredevil.
When he showed up.
I would have loved more Daredevil, but like.
That's too much.
They already made a deal with the devil. They could put this many characters in a movie and have it work. Because what's always our biggest complaint about superheroes?
Too many people.
Too many villains.
Well,
too many people.
That's what I mean. Too many villains, but we've never had too many villains from three separate series.
Like, on paper,
if this was a Batman movie, we'd have been like,
oh my God,
this.
And if we had seen like a traditional trailer that wasn't hiding things,
right?
And we'd have seen this is what they were doing. We'd have been like, there's no way
there's
this
no
is going to be good.
Yeah. So here's the deal. That Daredevil set photo leaked.
Oh, it did?
And that sucks because I would have liked
I had no idea.
I was still surprised because I kind of forgot. But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, the leak was right. But I'm like, I wish I never even got an inkling. That's my complaint. It's not really the movie's fault, although
the
marketing.
The movie business's fault.
The trailers with the villains and stuff that I've tried to avoid, but you can't because everyone posts them and all that. How cool would this movie be if you went in, thought it was just another home series trilogy sequel, and these guys all show up and you had zero idea? I know it's impossible.
I had pretty close to zero idea because I haven't been paying attention. I knew that they were supposed to be bringing in the other villains, but I was
Willem Dafoe's doing press tours and stuff.
But at the same time, man, they spend so much money on these movies. They got to give you something to let you know that you know what I mean.
And
to come
it
see
worked.
It. Yeah,
it worked because this movie
this is crazy.
We don't have a full box office, but I'll let you know Thursday night previews. $50 million.
I saw an article yesterday that they said opening weekend is projected to be in the $240 million.
That's
crazy.
$250 million.
I mean, I was thinking about that the other day, and like we talked about Shang-Chi and the Black Widow and how and their openings, and they were they're opening with Disney Plus and all that stuff. This is why Marvel went out of their way to get their characters back, right?
Yeah.
Like if Spider-Man, who is their biggest character, despite that they didn't have his rights, he will always be probably their number one character. $240 million in an opening weekend. Imagine what the X-Men are going to do.
Yeah.
You know, the Fantastic Four are probably going to do probably around the same that the Black Widow or Shang-Chi did, unless it's something amazing, because it is by the same director as these three movies. John Watts, I think, is directing in the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
But the X-Men is going to be stupid.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Wolverine is one of their most popular. Well, he was. He's not so much anymore. But
yeah, we'll have to see how they handle recasting and everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, but here's the deal. Yes, Spider-Man's popular. We all know that. It was the biggest, the Raimi trilogy, right? I mean, even though Blade and X-Men, but like Spider-Man made them so much money. But
save the company. Like, yeah, that's for real.
Right. But also, this movie had so much hype around it. And I told Tom a couple of days ago when we were talking, I'm like, this was a magic trick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Whatever they follow this up with, I mean, they can't just recreate this magic trick again. This is
they can, in a way, because they've set this thing back to zero. So the MCU Spider-Man, right? We've seen him, his evolution. They were setting him up, or maybe they weren't. They were leading us to believe that he was going to be the new Tony Stark with the suits and the gadgets.
This movie makes me so happy that he's not Tony Stark Jr. anymore.
But what have they done? They have stripped him they've stripped him down to the bare bones.
Yeah.
And he is back to zero. Yeah.
Regular, struggling
MJ.
Photographer. He's going to have to go work for the Daily Bugle.
Right. Now you've got a traditional Spider-Man, no armored suit. I swear this guy had more costume changes than Bette Midler at the Oscars, as many costumes as he went through in this movie.
You got toys to sell, man.
That's true. But like you can introduce Harry Osborn. Now you can introduce Norman Osborn, Gwen Stacy. Maybe if you can't pay Zendaya enough, you get a traditional,
as long as
quote,
she's still
unquote,
dating Tom Holland.
That's true.
She'll show
up. You get a traditional Mary Jane Watson.
Having seen Zendaya in other movies, I have. Not that I ever had a problem with her in these movies, but I like her so much more. I'm just like that. Like, I just kind of assumed that's who she is.
You understood this is a choice.
But now I'm like, oh my God, all those line deliveries are like deliberate choices that she's making. I'm like, she is so damn good.
She's great. Do you watch Euphoria?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, seriously, Euphoria, Malcolm and Marie, and Dune, she was good. Not that she was in it much.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
she had three lines. But
she's a great actor.
Yeah.
Like, she is great. But my point is, though, that, yeah, they pulled this off. So again, we've spoiled it. We already said Toby's in the movie. Andrew Garfield's in the movie. They brought in all the villains.
What got the biggest pop in your theater?
Andrew Garfield.
Okay.
Toby
was the big one for mine.
I was at a critic screening, and the only thing that got a big reaction was Daredevil.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so Tope, for our age, I mean, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man and Tobey Maguire, that was what we grew up with. So I think in general audiences that are around our age, that's why Toby's going to get the...
He's the worst Spider-Man.
I don't think he's the worst.
I went back and watched one and
Andrew Garfield's the best Spider-Man.
Easily.
The way his quips, the way he's... When he was swinging around in the final scene and he had his smart aleck, whatever, that is Spider-Man off the page.
I wish he's the George Lazenby
of Spider-Man.
He is. He's Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I wished he would have played a 30-year-old Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's the problem. The only thing, and he was good as Peter Parker. He's just too old to be high school Peter Parker, but his line delivery is so perfect.
I think of that scene with Flash in The Amazing Spider-Man, where he's like, he's picking the kid up and he's making the kid, and like the way he walks into that scene where he's like, he's trying to be Peacemaker, but he's not big enough to do anything to Flash Thompson. But yes, I completely agree.
Tom Holland's the most balanced.
Yes.
Andrew Garfield was a great Spider-Man. And I think Tobey Maguire was a really good Peter Parker. I mean, I know he looked older in some of it too, but like he still had that nerdy, like whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
I just always thought he was very stiff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked them all anyway. But
he felt more relaxed and comfortable to me in this than he did in any of those.
He's an adult. Yeah. I mean, he's a grown-up Spider-Man.
And I think he's also walking into it like I'm the first Spider-Man, right? Like, I think there's a confidence in that of,
that
like, you're here because of me.
Oh, I mean, 100%. Like, you got to give them credit. You know, I mean, who is it? Avi Arad?
Who was a producer on this movie, which is bonkers.
He's a producer on every Spider-Man thing.
Oh, that's right.
He owns the rights to Spider-Man.
Right, that's right. He's like John Peters.
Yeah, he is. He he has to produce everything with Spider-Man. So, but I mean... He saved Marvel. Marvel was going bankrupt, and Avi Arad said, "We're going to sell the rights to movies." And you know,
that's what they did.
A tough start, but they eventually got there. And you know, it was his vision. It was a little weird. The self congratulatory. He's a producer on this movie, and he said the producers would like to thank the vision of the original true believer Avi Arad.
Where did it say that
in the credits?
Oh,
and he's still alive and a producer. Like, if he was dead,
right,
his son Ari Arad or whatever, like saying that would be amazing, right?
Right,
like, that's
a very
touching thing. And I thought, oh, well, I guess he died, and I didn't realize. No, he's alive, and they just wanted to congratulate him and him congratulate.
That's
himself.
Hilarious.
Anyway, but he did seriously. I mean, Marvel was going bankrupt, probably wouldn't have it anymore if it weren't for him.
If it wasn't for Jimmy Palmiotti and Joe Quesada and the movies, Marvel would have been sold to Warner Brothers.
So, I mean, you know, he had the vision. He brought the Spider-Man to life with Sam Raimi and all that. So, I mean, those guys are responsible for comic book movies as we know them. And they've evolved, obviously. But those movies, if you remember, back in the early 2000s, the money they made in those days.
Because, like, I remember that Spider-Man movie made $100 million its opening weekend, which was unheard of.
Right. Yep.
Like, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's a disappointment for a superhero movie.
Totally, yeah. Right. I think what I really love the most about how they did this is, one, like, I went into this, I knew that there was going to be the multiverse thing, and I was like, they're definitely, when people were like, well, will Toby show up, I was like, he's gonna be in it. Like,
yeah.
I didn't think for a second they weren't, but I thought we were gonna get I think we're gonna get 5 minutes of Tobey Maguire.
You got a lot of Tobey Maguire.
I didn't expect basically Tobey Maguire to make his first movie in a decade.
Yeah,
like, I mean, he's in this movie for well over an hour.
Absolutely.
But same with the villains. You thought the villains were gonna be cameos.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Electra's here. Ha ha. Green Goblin's here. Like, and they're gone. Right. Like, they come in, they fight them, they're gone. These are not cameos.
Nope. No.
Everyone in this movie
is in this movie.
He's, like, he's fighting. They're fighting the Sinister Six.
They're supporting actors. All the villains are like. But they're not cameos. That's the thing, is that I think it's amazing they pulled this off, rights and all that aside, but logistically, getting all these named actors that have been in this series for, you know, 10 to 20 years over different iterations.
The rights part isn't so difficult because Sony has Spider-Man, Marvel has everything else. Like, that's easy peasy.
They partner up, they make a deal.
That's easy peasy. But, like, getting Tobey Maguire back in,
Andrew Garfield is busy,
and I'm like, Tobey Maguire
doesn't need the money.
But Andrew Garfield, I could also see going back and saying, like, look, I don't want to be a punchline in a Spider-Man movie. Like,
and he wasn't.
Like, it was already ripped from me.
Sure.
And so, like, I'm not going to go back and be a punching bag, even though there are jokes about it they're really the way they're positioned is it makes you like him even more. But
he's
so
endearing.
But I think the thing I love about how they did this the most is that for years it's been like when they did a reboot of anything, right? It's basically like F everything that came before
and then
it just gets thrown on the scrap heap and it doesn't quote unquote matter anymore. And they've rejuvenated the other Spider-Man movies by doing this, right?
Easily.
Like, now they matter in a way that they didn't matter before.
No one's ever done anything like this, right? When there's been a reboot, they've never retroactively gone back and been like, "Well, it does exist somehow."
Yeah, you don't get a mention of Christopher Reeve's adventures as Superman Superman.
I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, we thought with Marvel and Endgame and all that, like they've done the impossible, and it is incredible. But this is just a whole new trick that
you got to think.
But also,
that DC,
they slow walked it, right? Yeah. Like it's like you get the introduction of Doctor Strange, and then you get the introduction of the concept of the multiverse. They didn't just in
Loki,
the opening credits
variants, timelines. All this has been
they didn't just in the opening or the what if right
yeah, yeah.
they didn't
oh,
just
yeah.
in the opening credits go oh there's this whole plot device we just came up with and we're building this movie around it. It's like that's also what makes you accept it, is because they didn't just invent it in the first 5 minutes of this film.
Yeah, we laid the tracks a year ago.
So what's going to
happen? Years ago.
What's going to happen with Flashpoint?
That's my question, right?
Because they're going to have to go in the first 5 minutes.
Right.
Flash is going to have to say, oh, there's a Speed Force.
You know,
DC's timelines.
Just like, son of a
bitch. Like,
and the excitement level of seeing that has just been taken down a
notch. It's tough because the excitement level for me is like, I
Keaton's
still want to see
it,
Keaton.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that
but it
is
won't
exciting.
Feel fresh in the same way.
It's gonna
that
feel
is
like
true.
Marvel.
It's gonna feel.
Marvel did it.
Marvel did it first.
They're not ripping it off, but because both comic book
of course.
Companies have done this on the page
sure.
in one capacity or another. Or you
a
had,
public perception.
You
know
had
I
Amalgam,
wondered.
Which merged the DC and Marvel superheroes, right?
Super Soldier is still one of the best ones.
Yeah, but
a public perception.
But public
is
perception
say,
is.
But
gonna
I wonder.
Be.
I wonder if it won't though, right? Because this movie is going to be is massively successful. So everybody gets the idea of a multiverse.
Well,
so
Spider-Verse DC, helped it along too.
Totally.
They're also going to say now Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man No Way Home. Like they're going to be like, Spider-Man does this all the time.
But DC may not need to give a massive explanation because it's kind of already
the concept
if you're see if the people that are going to see both those movies.
Sure.
You know
but
what I mean?
It just underlines the problem DC's always had, which is they've always been playing catch up to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And they always will.
And
like that's kind of where we
are. And they always want to be 5 years ahead of where they deserve to be.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just taking a breath and doing it right, they want to be like, oh, we want our big giant Avengers-type movie. We want our... And it's just like...
Slow down.
You haven't earned it yet. Like, Avengers worked because they earned it. Endgame worked because they earned it. And, like, you can't just jump to that.
Marvel started this while you were still trying to figure out your Batman.
Yeah.
That's why when they drop all these little breadcrumbs or plant all these little seeds, rather, it's like, I understand it. They're signing people to contracts. They're doing all this stuff ahead of time and trying to cast and introduce characters because it feels so organic when they finally show up for their actual movie or a team-up movie. And, yeah, you're right. That's the problem, and I really hope The Flash is good. I like that director. I'm excited we have so many people involved with it. You know, it's going to be cool to see Keaton and the Batmobile and whatever his older form is. Like, I really hope it's good, but this is how you do it.
This is how you do it.
And hopefully that one will work, too. But going back to the beginning, though, you know, there's trouble for...
Daredevil bails him out, and... He at this point now Peter Parker is the most famous person in the world, and he kind of says that. And you know, they're trying to get into college, and of course Ned and MJ and Pete, they can't get into any colleges because there's too much heat on them,
and they're by association getting declined because
there's just too much. There's too much
they
heat.
They
want
to go to MIT,
three of them.
And they all get
denied. So they're sitting. He's sitting in this diner, and he sees this little like witch Halloween decoration, and he goes to Doctor Strange, which I love this version of Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
like
great.
It's so good.
Benedict Cumberbatch is great in this movie.
But I do like that the scene that you got in the trailer is Wong telling him, don't you dare cast that spell, and he gives him like okay, I won't, and he gives him a wink. That's not in the movie at all. Yeah. Like Wong just goes, I'm not going to be here for this, and like leaves.
That's Sorcerer Supreme Wong, too.
That's right.
That's pretty funny that Wong became the Sorcerer Supreme because Strange blipped for 5 years.
Yes.
So he technically has superior.
Which I do also like in Hawkeye that they reference the blip and how Yelena was gone for 5 years and she comes, you know. Also, spoilers for Hawkeye if you haven't seen it. The other character from Daredevil's in that show, so like they're basically bringing
I haven't yet, but I just got spoiled on Twitter.
Oh, did you? Damn, you should have like thrown that. Okay,
anyway,
but, yeah.
But one thing that I didn't understand: why is the Sorcerer Supreme pulling fighting grips with Abomination? Doesn't the Sorcerer Supreme have better things to do?
You would think
protecting the universe than running hustles.
Maybe not.
I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
it's a hobby.
Yeah, he's making some
extra
grip on the side.
When you didn't know he was a Sorcerer Supreme, it was like, okay, he can pull a hustle or whatever. But like, that's weird.
That is kind of weird.
Anyway,
yeah. So Pete kind of says, he's like, you have the time stone. You can just go back in time and make sure it never happens. And I do like the Strange is like, I don't have that stone. What are you talking about? Like, that's long gone. He's like, but I can make people forget that. And this is a kind of a storyline from the comics, mm-hmm. Where Peter Parker did reveal his identity to the world, and Civil War messes everything up. I think Aunt May gets hurt in the process. Spoilers for this movie. And he makes a deal with Mephisto that says that everybody needs, oh no, this one is Strange, where everybody will forget that Peter Parker is
people
Spider-Man.
Thought Strange was Mephisto, but they didn't.
Man, they love doubling down on that Mephisto storyline. Yeah. Like, pump the brakes. Like, but, you know, Strange starts to cast the spell, and Pete realizes, well, that means MJ's going to forget, and Ned's going to forget, and Aunt May's going to forget. So he keeps interrupting him. We see this in the trailer. And in the process, he kind of messes up the spell. We don't know that he messed up the spell. We think that Strange has captured everything. He's changed the spell while casting it.
A couple times is fine, but he changes it
keeps messing
like six
it up.
Times.
Yeah.
And so the spell is out of control because it's getting changed by someone while he's trying to
do
this. It's a very intense spell. I like how they visualize it too.
I love the Doctor Strange like special effects.
Yeah,
I like the writings and the one of the things that they used to do in the comics that Bendis started doing is like when he would cast a spell, like the spell would be written like in the
waves.
It was a very cool aesthetic. So we think that everything's okay, right? The spell is contained, nothing really happens. And I do like that Strange is like, did you talk to the admission person? And Peter's like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, are you telling me I almost mind wiped the entire world and you didn't
make a phone call?
Yeah.
I think this is the talking about real problems with the movie, I think the only thing I don't like, and this movie's very good, and so that's why we give it a pass, but he's kind of the Rock and Rampage. Peter Parker causes all this crap.
He absolutely does.
And it's frustrating because I know he's a kid, and that's, you know, whatever, but like, he causes these problems, but he does in the end have to pay for it, which is different than the Rock getting a gold medal after stealing a helicopter, killing people, whatever.
Right.
But the point is,
I thought you said Rockin' Rampage, and I didn't know what you meant. But you said the
Rockin' Rampage. Sorry,
I'm with you.
So, you know, it's just a little frustrating for me that Peter Parker keeps doing this stuff and puts the entire world in danger for selfish reasons. Yes, they're typical teenager reasons, but I mean, he's an Avenger. He should probably know better than to.
Yeah, he's in charge of like
the world
of Stark Industries.
Yeah,
you know,
so
like,
you know, that's just. He keeps doing this stuff and it's really screwing things up. And so him keep changing the spell and all that, knowing that this sorcerer is helping him and how big of a deal all this is. I don't know. It just was a little frustrating to me. So that's probably my biggest complaint is that he just can't get out of his own way. And then when it comes to villains and them doing stuff, and I know that eventually part of it comes into play with what May says and all that. And I get it. It's a nice message and all that, but it's like, you know, they're out here killing people and he could have just done what Strange said. Strange keeps telling him.
Right.
And he even says it like back when he's like in Endgame or whatever. Strange
this
is like,
their fate.
If I have to, and like if this kid dies to protect the world, like I'm sorry, but like I have the whole world to look out for.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, it's just hard. Like,
he makes a lot of mistakes.
I part of me likes what he's doing and it is great because of the responsibility and the May talk and all that. But then part of me is like, just listen to Dr. Strange. He's telling you.
He's Dr. Strange.
So, you know, anyway, for what
not
it's
your
worth,
aunt, you know, so he makes a couple phone calls. Flash we see this version of Flash Thompson where he has to, Peter Parker has to strike a deal with him and say that Flash is Spider-Man's best friend and
try to help him because he did get into MIT.
Yeah,
of course,
right, of
course. He's rich.
Yeah,
and whatever.
Right, right. So Peter like ends up on a bridge and he sees this woman's car, and this is the first introduction. The bridge starts to collapse and we see Alfred Molina's Doc Ock comes back from Spider-Man 2.
And I didn't realize that they had done de-aging with him and Willem Dafoe, but I thought it looked really good.
I thought Alfred Molina looked a little weird, but Willem Dafoe did not. Yeah. Because I think Willem Dafoe has that rubbery face anyway.
Yeah. I thought
Alfred
it didn't
Molina's look
just
bad,
older,
but,
so I didn't
but
really...
Willem Dafoe looked better than Molina.
God, yeah. And can we? I mean, I guess we're not there yet, but Willem Dafoe, MVP, like
that's
his performance.
That's the Green Goblin I've been waiting for since 2002.
But his performance is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, he was a great villain then, but like he's only gotten better and better as an actor even since then when he was good, and yeah.
So they have this throwdown. You know, Alfred Molina thinks that this is Tobey Maguire, and of course it's not, and he takes the mask kind of comes. I was like, man, you got to keep that mask on your face, bud. I guess you don't at this point. Everybody knows who he is. And you know, somebody pointed out that he's wearing the same suit that Tobey Maguire is wearing in Spider-Man 2. Like when he goes to the theater, like they're wearing the same suit. So Alfred Molina's like, you aren't Spider-Man. And he was like, what do you, big, this is the big thing. Like nobody knows who he is. So they end up getting Doc Ock into this cell and we get to see,
So he skipped over. So he takes the nanobots.
Oh, that's
off
true.
Of
he does.
Suit,
he takes it off the suit.
In the chest area and they go onto his arms. But then Peter realizes that he has control over the nanobots on this little wrist thing.
Right.
And so he's able to then
override the
pilot
arms.
The arms.
Right.
And he wraps him up. He saves the admissions person. The admissions person's like, you're a hero. I'm going to look into you and your friends. He's like, no, I don't want it. It's just for my friends. She's like, I'm going to look into it for you and your friends.
Right. You're right. This is where we get the bomb. The pumpkin bomb kind of rolls onto the bridge and explodes, and we see this Green Goblin from Spider-Man 1 off in the distance, and he kind of takes off. We are teleported back to the Sanctum Sanctorum. Doc Ock is put into a cage, and this is where Doctor Strange is like, I don't know what we did, but we've broken the multiverse, and people, and now everybody who you wanted to forget Peter Parker is now, everybody who knows who Peter Parker is coming into our universe.
And that whole call me Steven thing and then call me Doctor Strange, like, that's great. See, the writing, this is the Marvel writing that you love.
Easily.
But the whole, when he's asking him for the favor, don't call me Steven. He's like, okay, Steven. Yeah, that still feels weird, but okay.
But then
later when he screws everything up, okay, Steven, whatever, I'm sorry, call me Doctor Strange.
No, like, sir.
Sir. Yeah, call me sir.
Right.
That was a great callback.
Callback, yeah. So then we flash over to another cell and there's the Lizard from Amazing Spider-Man, the first one. Like it's the
Dr. Connors.
I don't know
right?
how. Yes, yeah, Kurt Connors. I don't know how you say that actor's name. It's like
Reese Infar or something like
whatever.
Yeah.
Reese Davies.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe. So now like we've got these two villains. Strange says, look, you have to go. Like, fine. There's all of these other incursions, basically, of different villains, of different people. You got to bring them back here, and then we got to send them back. And I do like how Peter Parker's like, how am I going to do that? And this is one of the coolest things in the movie, is he takes that little spider gauntlet and infuses it with, like, magic. And it's got, like, a spider web, and he just hits him with the web, and they send him back. And I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, the visual effects are very good in this movie.
Yeah.
It's so much better than Far From Home. Like in Far From Home, I mean, there was some cool stuff, but I thought some stuff got a little wonky, especially in the ending when there was like Mysterio doing his stuff and all that. But this movie, throughout the entire thing, I thought the visual effects, like they gave this movie the budget to do whatever they needed to do.
Right.
Because there's a lot of villains, a lot of destruction, magic, all this stuff.
All of the above.
It really looked
It is
good.
Funny. Initially, I thought we were going to get a black suit until I realized they just turned his suit inside out. And that was the
Is
suit.
Is that what the black and gold was?
Yeah, because if you go like a close up, you can see all the wires and stuff on the outside of it.
I just didn't know if that was because
he couldn't get the paint off.
I couldn't figure out what they did. Okay, that
he
makes
turned, they, he,
okay.
He looked at it and just turned his suit inside out, so you kind of got the black suit without it being the black suit.
Okay, and he's not wearing the nano suit because, but
he
got
pulled.
It back.
He gets it because Otto puts it back on his chest. He gives him back, like when he fixes the thing on the back of
later
Otto's
on.
Head.
Okay. So he's missing.
He gets, yes.
So he's still missing.
He's wearing the black and red,
And then when he's wearing the Miles suit, basically, which is what that one is. Mm-hmm. And then when Otto gives him the back, it's the black and red suit with the gold mm-hmm. spider okay. on it. So then now we're introduced to Electro. We see Electro and Electro from Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Sandman.
So it's not, though. That's the interesting thing. So it's a different Electro because that Electro...
No,
because
he recognized...
That Electro didn't know Peter Parker was Spider-Man. He never knew that. And he looks different. He's not all nerdy and stuff. He looks so different. It's an Electro, but it's a different Electro.
Oh, is that right?
That's why it's Jamie Foxx, you know, still, but it's a different version of Electro.
But even Andrew Garfield knew who he was.
That Andrew Garfield knows Electro. I can't be... The reason they all get drawn in...
But he says that he fell into a vat of electric eels. That's how...
But Peter... These people know Peter Parker's Spider-Man. That's how they get drawn in.
Hmm.
And that Electro never knew.
Oh, you're saying the Electro from the original Amazing Spider-Man 2 did not
right.
know.
Yeah. So
but there could be an alternate universe yes. one where he has the same origin story. It's the same guy. Andrew Garfield knew
Spider-Man.
Who Electro was, but Electro didn't know who Andrew Garfield was.
I'm with
or,
you.
You know,
with
that
you.
Version. Of,
That's yeah. how I took it, though, is that it had to be because he looks and acts so different, too. You know, he's a lot cooler and whatever. You know, yeah, like yeah, this is the Electro that you... hope that you
kind of yeah and, right
you know,
right
like they fixed the problems that people had with Electro in that movie here, but I don't think it would make sense for him to still be the same exact
did,
one.
Did Flint Marko know that Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man?
Gosh, it's been so long. I don't know. I was just
nobody,
taking them at their
nobody
word.
Nobody pays attention to that one anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but either so yeah, so we get the Sandman and we get Sandman from Spider-Man 3 and Electro from the Amazing Spider-Man 2. Tobey Maguire. Tom Holland gets both of them into the thing. And then he gets a phone call and just kind of says, there's one at the feast center. And of course, Spider-Man takes off and he runs through the thing. I do like that. He doesn't have to, you know, Tom Holland has become a pretty big actor. He's like, I'm not wearing that mask anymore. They're like, fine. Everybody knows who you are. So you can just run through wherever without the
mask. I
think
also on. Like they don't, he's a big enough star where you don't want to cover his face.
That's what
the
I'm saying.
Time. Like,
yeah.
I think that it's not just he doesn't want to. They don't want yeah. to spend that kind of money on Tom Holland and then hide
then
his face.
Hide his
I think
face.
They also did the same thing with Willem Dafoe. Like, that was one of the big mistakes of the Spider-Man movie was they hid Willem Dafoe's
did you ever
face.
See, did you ever see that mask? The original mask? Rick Baker, I think. Rick Baker or Stan Winston did an animatronic mask that was like the goblin, and they said no.
Yeah,
like if you can find the test footage of it, and it looks bonkers in yeah. the best possible way. And they gave him that
this,
stupid Power
this
Ranger
was
mask.
Really cool that they gave him the comic book suit, like
it's pretty close
hoodie with
yep.
the purple. I mean,
yep.
it's a mashup
with the exception
I mean,
of the mask. It's almost
it's an
spot
homage
on
yeah. to the comic book with the colors and everything. I
purple and green.
Great.
Yeah, it was great.
But so, he's running through. Where's May? Because you know, and then she's just sitting there with
Norman Osborn. Yeah. And this is the Norman Osborn. In the beginning of Amazing Spider-Man, where he's not the Goblin, like
yeah.
he's kind of got like
he's a tragic character.
He very yeah. much is, yeah. And you know, he says, "I'll do whatever I can." Like my company isn't here, which I think it is going to be. I'm pretty sure that Oscorp is going to be in Morbius. I'm just guessing that like the Gleason, Donald Gleason.
Donald Gleason?
No, who's the old guy?
Oh, Brendan.
Brendan Gleason might be
okay.
Norman Osborn.
I'm guessing. It is really tragic, though, because he's like, there's someone
my son's
else
not
in
here.
My house. He's pulled out and doesn't know anything, and he's also, at this point, realized that the Goblin's bad news. He's crashed the helmet in the alley when he lands. He's covered up the glider. He's trying to get help, and
yeah.
May realizes this, and she runs this homeless shelter, and so she's like, that's what we do. We help people. You need to help this man.
Right, and Strange is like, get him back here, because we find out that they have been these characters have been plucked seconds before they die.
Yeah.
So the Alfred Molina character was about to die in Spider-Man 2, and all of these characters were about to die. So when they send them back to their actual universes, they're going to die.
Yeah.
And Peter doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah. And that's and it's
well, Peter doesn't care.
May,
but like, yeah.
May says he's like these aren't our problems. He's talked to Doctor Strange. He's like, yeah, they need to go back. They're dangerous. All this, but she's like, but maybe they don't have to. Maybe we can help them.
It is interesting that we've had very few very few mentions of Ben in the MCU movies,
if any.
I don't think he's ever said my uncle Ben. Something that like May has been having a hard time recently in the first movie.
Yeah.
And kind of as a reference to the death of Ben.
But I don't think they ever say
they
uncle
never
ben.
Do. Which doesn't make a lot of sense, because how did he become like what set him on the path to be Spider-Man? I guess Tony Stark. I don't know. They don't really say why he became, right? Because the catalyst is Ben getting shot by the robber that makes him become Spider-Man. And we'll just, you know, we're running a little short on time, but they flip that here where May is the Uncle Ben.
Right.
May is your Uncle Ben allegory.
Well, Ben doesn't make him become Spider-Man. Ben makes him become a better Spider-Man.
Yes, that's true. Is, yeah, the hero.
Which is what happens here. Like, not that he was ever a bad Spider-Man, but I think...
Well, he was about to give up.
And it was, this is going to make him take it a little bit more serious.
Yes. Yeah, that's totally right. The powers weren't going to be used to fight wrestlers.
Right.
You know?
So basically he starts trying to help all these villains.
Yeah.
He says,
he kicks Doctor Strange into the Mirrorverse.
This is maybe my favorite scene visually.
That's the Doctor Strange stuff, man.
The train. That was one of the coolest things. Like, this is what they were trying to do with the Mysterio visuals and all that. Like, I didn't really care for how CG it was with multiple Spider-Men and trying to trick him and all that. This was like the perfect.
This is Inception style, like amazing. Buildings collapsing.
So fun,
on itself.
So fun, amazing visual effects. Just a blast to watch on the big screen.
So Spidey brings all of the villains back to Happy's place because that's where they're staying.
Yeah,
and they use, you know, Happy is about to be charged for stealing Stark Tech, and the MacGuffin is this box in the back of Happy's place, and Spidey opens it up and it's like a 3D printer basically.
Yeah.
And he fixes the thing.
Basically, they don't have a lab, but they have a thing that can generate anything that they want.
Correct.
So,
which is how he made his suit, right? Yeah. Like, that's how he made his suit in Far From Home. So he fixes the device on the back of Ock's neck that, like, kept the arms in check.
And this is a great scene, and especially with, Octavius being so against everything and, let me out of here, I'm going to blah, 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 and then he gets redone,
but
and
it's
he's like...
I forgot how lovable he is, because he is that way in the first half of two, where he's like...
When he's helping Peter, and they're at this cafe, and he's talking with his wife and all that.
Is that character again.
It's great to see him, and he's like, Norman? You know?
Right.
Yeah, they have a nice moment.
And unfortunately, the Peter tingle kicks in, and I do like the way they film.
Well, he's
this
dampening
is,
Electro's power with a thing on his chest, and that's almost done. I can't remember what Marco's gonna have.
He hadn't
done
anything
to him, but he's like, they've found fixes. Goblin has a serum
to get rid of the Goblin.
Yeah, so they've got fixes for everyone. But yeah, the spider sense going off, and again, another great shot.
That's what I think.
It's
a
GoPro shot that like is attached.
They've
to
never
him.
Done it like this, where he's looking around the room, and like you can feel it, like when he's looking at Doc Ock, like it goes down, and as he's turning,
everyone else is blurred around him, and it's this great tracking shot, and then all of a sudden he hits
the web, and of course it's not Norman Osborn, it's the Goblin,
and
this is all hell breaks loose, and
Jamie Foxx rips off the dampener. He realizes, I don't want my powers taken away,
right, and then the Goblin attacks Peter. And there's a really good fight with some wrestling moves are in there. There's a couple spine busters and
a
power bomb.
Yeah.
And they go through this is a massive fight scene. The Lizard's like, F this, I'm out of here. J. Jonah Jameson is on the scene at this point, and he's videotaping. Of course, Spider-Man is causing all of this destruction, so he can't wait to film it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in this process, we lose May.
This is a dark movie.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire...
It definitely takes a turn, which I think is interesting given the post-credit sequence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But really watching this moment, but I mean, from Spider-Man being discovered and people being hard on him and to this scene especially,
I think
and
this,
the end,
this
like,
scene, hey. This scene is played so perfectly because Aunt May is kind of always untouchable, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's old and frail, right? She's in the hospital in one of the amazing Spider-Man, and in the comics, she's always sick for some reason because she's old as dirt.
But this is a different Aunt May.
Yeah. And when she's talking to Peter and she hits him with the great power comes great responsibility. And I was like, I'll allow it. You get one.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't need to hear it all the time. And then when
we haven't heard it yet,
that's what I'm saying. You get it once.
They didn't just give us the same thing that we're like, we know the origin, whatever. Like, well, this is different.
This is different.
But it's so close that I don't think the nerds can be mad. I mean, obviously they can. But
well, and the whole point of this movie is that all these Spider-Men come from
different.
The pieces are all there, but they're in different orders.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And they're coming from different places sometimes.
Right.
So.
But it's heartbreaking. I mean, would it have been better without the crying baby during the whole scene? Probably.
Did you have a crying baby?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that
yeah.
sucks.
Yeah, it's great during the most dramatic, quiet moment in the movie.
I had the gal next to me doing her own MST3K. I was like, you can shut the fuck up anytime you want. That'd be great.
During the third act, the two kids yelling at each other and running around the theater fighting.
Hey, aren't we glad to be back in the theater?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, no, you don't understand. We all love theaters. We love them. It's the people.
Yeah.
Be respectful.
If I could have my own theater just to myself or my friends, sign me up.
Well, I'm glad they took her out. Given the hit that she took.
Yeah.
Like, when she took that hit, I was just like,
come on.
She's not a superhero. She's a 52-year-old woman.
Right,
like,
right.
She's like, and she's about 4'11". Like, I'm just like, that would kill her. And so I was just like,
When she popped right up, I was like, ah, damn it.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But it is heartbreaking, and you think that she's just, you know, injured a bit, and Peter's holding her, and then he looks at his hand.
Well, no,
blood.
She says, I just need to catch my breath. And, like, she kind of sits down and lays down, and they're having that talk. And then, yes, exactly. He pulls his hand out from under her back, and he's just covered in blood. I think this is, like, Tom Holland is one hell of an actor.
But he's now caused the death of May, just like the other ones caused the death of Ben.
Right.
So we've got that same kind of
dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Peter Parker disappears.
Yeah.
So now MJ and Ned, who I do like that Ned's like, hey, you know, is there any, I'm your best friend, but I promise I'm not going to go crazy and murder you. Ned Leeds is the Hobgoblin in the comic book. So like that's going, maybe not this Ned, but Ned Leeds becomes a bad guy at some point. At this point, like Ned has a sling ring. So he says, you know, show me Peter Parker. This was one of the biggest pops of the movie.
Sure.
You see a Spider-Man out in the background. As soon as I saw him wave, and I was like, oh, I know which one that is.
I didn't expect it at this point. And like, I don't know. Like, I just thought, I mean, they did it well. It's dark. He's in an alley. I'm like, oh, I thought they found mopey Peter Parker, like sad about what happened with May and everything.
But as soon as he waves.
And then he jumps through and you see the suit.
That cool suit. That's a good looking suit.
And it's like.
And of course he takes the mask off and it's Andrew Garfield. And I do like that. They're like, prove that you're Spider-Man. And he was like,
okay,
what?
But he hops up on the ceiling and they're like,
just holding it with one hand.
And Zendaya, wait, crawl around on the ceiling.
I'm not crawling around.
And the mom or the grandma or whatever, she's speaking a different language the whole time. And Ned's like, she's asking, can you go get the cobweb that's in that corner while you're up there? And he shuffles over to it and wipes. I mean, it's so funny.
It is very good. And he's so good. And then, they try it again. And of course, out walks Tobey Maguire. And that got the pop. Like, that was the one.
Yeah.
And I do like that immediately both of their spider senses go off and they mirror each other's moves almost to a T. And then just like, and they give each other like the thumbs up. They're like, okay, we know what's going on. I got to tell you, like,
got to go out dressed like a cool youth pastor.
that's great. And he just kind of pulls his shirt down.
Because I was looking
the
whole time, like,
it.
Why is Toby not in the suit? I'm like,
well, and I'm thinking at this point, like, well, maybe he's not in shape. Maybe that was one of the deal points to get him back. Like, he'll be Peter Parker, but he won't be Spider-Man.
I wonder if the suit wasn't ready or something, or he wasn't ready at that point in filming. And was
I think all that was hammered out before.
Yeah,
he
looked
foot.
In pretty good shape. Like,
no, he didn't. When you could tell, what I'm saying is, I wonder if at that point there was a reason they kept him.
Yeah. I just realized the back joke.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
It is real.
Yeah, he hurt his back. So
Jake Gyllenhaal was going to be recast.
Clicked that he messed his back up doing Seabiscuit.
Yeah.
And they referenced that here where he's trying to the old man trying to lean over the railing, trying
that
to crack
real.
His back.
Because
that's
why,
hilarious.
Like, I always thought for, 20 years ago, I'm like, man, him and Jake Gyllenhaal looks the same. And then they did that Brothers movie. And I'm like, see, I knew they looked the same. And then they were talking about him almost replacing
him. He was Spider-Man. And then Tobey Maguire's like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
He'll make
I
it
can
work
do this. I'll make it.
I'll
make it work. Right. So this is another great scene where they know where Peter Parker goes, the MCU Peter Parker, and you've got both of them kind of perched on either side, and our
God,
Peter
this is great. The emotional
I think
beats
this
of
scene is fantastic.
Them all talking about the stuff that's happened in there.
Yeah, where
they've
Peter
lost people.
Peter references Gwen.
He or our Peter says like you. I'm sorry,
you
guys,
you can't
understand.
You don't
and you're
get
like,
it.
God, they all understand.
They all get it, right?
And they do such a good dramatic delivery of their
parts. Andrew Garfield mentions Emma Stone, who I got to tell you, that is the couple that I think is the best couple.
Yeah.
I think Zendaya and Tom Holland are really good. but there was just something off about Kirsten Dunst, and they were together, right? They were while they were filming.
I think so,
but not.
I
for
like
three.
Them all, but the I think that Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone are just such likable, charismatic people that those two together is just like.
Well, and they were also dating,
right? But so there is that. But on screen though, it's just an explosion of chemistry and charisma. Right. They were really likable.
No Spider Gwen in this movie, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But then Tobey Maguire references Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
And they all kind of realize. We can, if we work together, we can make this happen. So they go back to the high school laboratory. And this is another really good interaction between the three of them where Ned says Peter and they all say what? And they're like, no, that Peter, you know, can't figure
Peter
out
Parker.
Peter Parker. He's like, we're all Peter Parker.
So they assign them numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter one, Peter two, Peter
but
three.
The numbers don't correspond to the movies.
No.
Which I thought was, because I would have thought the easiest way around that to still have them correspond in the movies is by age.
Oh,
they
sure.
Can't cause our, oh, okay. I was going to say, because our Peter has to be Peter 1.
Right.
It's,
because it's his world. And that's what they did, is he's Peter 1, and then
Toby's
and 2. Toby's 2, and Garfield's 3.
I like how he goes, yes, Peter 3, Peter 3.
Yeah. Like,
because it is kind of like, I feel like, because people like Amazing Spider-Man the least.
Right.
And so it's kind of a joke about like, yeah, Peter
totally,
3,
yeah.
I'm Peter 3.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
It's
yeah.
A good, it's a good self-referential way to kind of.
Yeah.
You know. There's even, they do that again when they're all on the scaffold, which
well,
I do think is also.
When they do that part is when he goes, yes, I get it. Because they're like, you're not coming, like, we have to talk and whatever. So they say, I'm Peter 1, you're Peter 2. And then he's like, yeah, Peter 3.
I do enjoy that the Statue of Liberty now has Captain America's shield instead of the...
I know when I saw the scaffold. Well, and there's a reference to that on the radio.
Oh, is
that
there?
I didn't get. It, like, one of the talk radio shows, there someone's complaining about it. And I didn't click for me what they were saying until we see the scaffolding. And I was like, wait, does this take place in this... Did Remo Williams know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man? And then you see the shield, and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
replacing
the torch with the shield.
Yeah.
So they, Peter Parker, you know, they've got this box, and once this button is pushed on this box, everybody goes back to
that's
their.
That's the thing that Strange from the beginning was like, I've got this spell trapped, and if you press this button, we're going to just send them all back home. And that's how it's going to be.
Done and done.
And Peter gets that box away from him. There's a really cool scene where he leaves his body, but his spider sense is able
to that what it
maneuver.
Is?
Yeah, because the spider sense is not physically connect. It's like he's tapped into whatever all the Spider-Men are tapped, the web, you know?
That's
like,
why he can't grab the, oh God, please don't.
Whatever,
if they bring in, Madame Web, I'm out.
Yeah. Played by Stan Lee's wife in the cartoon.
That's right. That's right.
But so anyway, it's just cool, like the spider sense, because Strange is like, this shouldn't be possible. He's outside his body, but yet the spider sense is moving.
Okay, that makes total sense. Is that why he can't grab the box?
So you know, they've been hiding this box the whole time. So now they're going to use to lure in the villains because they know they have to get that box away. Or
so
else
he hops on, you know, not InfoWars. Does, you know, tricks them into coming to the Statue of Liberty. And it's not going well. Right.
The whole chemistry experiment thing was that all the cures were broken when the villains escaped.
Yeah.
So all the Peter Parkers worked together using their science knowledge, using whatever tools they have, and they are able to create solutions. So like, if we work together, we can
find
cures for all of them.
A gas for the lizard and the serum and then the... fixing the thing on the back of the
and
neck.
And see, this is what I like about this movie is it's like, this is Peter Parker. He doesn't want to kill these people, right?
No.
He wants to save them. And that's what the May thing encourages.
Right. Man.
And turns him into that Peter Parker, much like Batman, where it's like, you don't want a Batman that just kills. You want the Batman that finds
gonna
a solution.
Put him in handcuffs
put
and
him
send
in
him off.
Plus,
and
it would be a boring story because it would be Batman so badass.
Yeah.
Right?
Badass.
That it would be easy for him to just go around and kill all the bad guys.
Superman's the same way.
It's not a fun story to watch.
No.
So
I like the idea that all these Spider-Men, even though these villains have done terrible things, they are like, we're going to save them.
So this, I do like the first time we get a little bit of humor between the three Spider-Men is when Tobey Maguire uses his organic webbing.
Yeah.
And both the Spider-Men's like, whoa!
And they're so grossed out by it. That's what I love. Andrew Garfield's face, he's just like
where did
but
that
but they
come?
Walk it back and like, no, we're just, we can't do that. You know, and Andrew Garfield is so good
like,
at that.
Where did that, you just create it inside of you?
Like,
and he's like, I don't know.
I don't have to like think about it. I don't think about
it's like,
breathing.
Does it come out of anywhere else?
Yeah.
Which is always kind of the joke.
No.
Webs come out of a spider's butt.
Which they do that with another character, don't they? Another brown.
Oh, I don't know.
Brown recluse.
In the comics?
Yeah. There's a character.
There's a tarantula.
Yeah. I think it's brown recluse that can shoot
gross
somewhere else.
Yeah. but now we've got all three Spider-Men in the suits on this scaffold, and you this is where Andrew Garfield, they're talking about their villains and like, what's the craziest one you've faced? He's like, well, I fought this alien full of goop and black goo. And Tom Holland says something. He's like, oh, God.
Yeah, I've been to space. I fought this, he's been purple.
This guy purple, this purple space
and
alien.
Garfield's like,
I fought a guy in a rhino suit.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm the lame one. You're not lame. The interaction
between you're amazing.
Them all.
You're spectacular.
Right.
No,
yeah,
you are amazing. Like, yeah. He says, you're amazing, which was another great.
Yeah.
And the villains attack, and our heroes actually just can't get it together because none of them, with the exception of, this is an interesting point, where Tom Holland's like, I'm an Avenger. Like, I fought with the Avengers. They're like,
cool, cool.
Oh, cool.
Is
what is
that?
Is it like a rock band? Are you in a rock band?
You're
in
a band?
What?
I love their, I mean, the fact that they pull these three guys from all their separate
and they
things.
All check their egos, and like, especially Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. Big time.
I know. That was the most surprising because I'm like, oh, we've heard a lot of bad things about Toby.
Yeah.
You know, I loved those movies and all, but I'm like, you know, we've seen Molly's
he's a
game.
Little, he's,
we,
a little bit of a, he's a little bit of
but
a problem.
Man, he comes,
not problematic, but he's kind of a dick.
But he comes to play in this.
He does.
He is very
and
much.
And he delivers most of the dramatic.
I think he's savvy enough to know that Spider-Man is his legacy. And if he comes in and screws it up, it screws up what he's what his legacy is.
And Tom Holland's like, I'll just take it for
and
you.
And he also is probably the biggest draw in this movie to the diehard, like, again, people our age, like, to see Toby.
This is the movie Ghostbusters wanted to be.
That is hard to dispute. You are not wrong.
Yeah. It worked for me, so, like, I think it kind of was, but this one definitely takes that to the next level.
But,
for
like,
sure.
The biggest problem with Ghostbusters isn't the last scene. It's that the stuff leading up to the last scene.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great Spider-Man movie, and you get all this.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Without this, it's still a great Spider-Man movie.
If this was just Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six, it's still a great Spider-Man movie. But
and
now you're throwing in...
Yeah. So this is what Ghostbusters was trying to do, and I won't say that they failed, but they did not succeed at the level that I think that they had hoped
Where
for.
This one hits a grand slam, they hit a ground rule double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like throughout the whole thing, though, the dynamic with, you focus a lot on the three friends, and I like them as these high school friends, and their relationships together, their friendship, their romance with Tom Holland. And
I do
Zendaya.
Appreciate that they give us a time, like where they are at age-wise.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they never have. They're just in high school in those first two movies. And then this one, they're like senior year. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so we're 17, 18. Got it.
Right.
This is where we are.
I like it, though. It's a good dynamic, and you get to spend time with them, and they're very fun. They're probably all friends in real life. Obviously, we know the relationship of the two. But
two of them are
close
friends.
You know, you feel that, and throughout the whole movie, they do a good job.
Yeah, I agree. There is,
it feels fun.
It is where I think the other two movies struggled is we kind of knew where Harry Osborn was going to go at some point, where this one... There's no question that Ned and MJ and Peter are not going to become enemies.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're going to be friends. Like we know Harry Osborn's going to turn on Pete at some point. We know, you know, that's just kind of what happens.
It'll be interesting to see what happens because I don't know where this is going.
I think we do know and we'll get there. So
they start working together,
and they win. They take out one by one. They're taking out the villains.
They're curing them.
Not taking them out. They're curing them. Yeah.
Don't you see like Thomas Hayden Church? Like you see them start to become human again.
Yeah, which I gotta wonder how much he got paid for this movie because like he's not in it except for a voice, except for the very end.
Yeah.
When the sand kind of breaks away.
I think Connors. You kind of set your price though within a certain degree because they need you. I mean, they could go try and find a different Spider-Man villain, but there's a finite number of
them.
It's
great that they got. The characters and the actors.
Yeah.
Back. Like that's
the
other
what makes,
trick.
If it does, if they didn't, then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You
literally are bringing in the villains from the other movies and the actors that played them. No recasting.
Right.
It's really special. And that's why I say it's a magic trick. There was so much hype, so much, sleight of hand.
Yeah.
And they pulled it off.
It's Daffy Duck. Drinking the gas and eating a match. It's
a
great trick.
You get one shot.
You only do it once.
But the next one's going to have to be really damn good. And you can't just be like, oh, here's the guys from some other movie. Like, you've done it.
You can't keep doing it.
I think I know what the next one's going to be.
Okay.
I think.
We'll get there. But I just mean that, like, this is so good. But, man, do they have some high expectations to live up to for whatever comes next.
Yeah.
So they take out, and the last one is the Goblin. The Goblin's the only one left. And Peter turns. I'm not going to say he goes full heel. But he is not happy. Like
he's about to beat him to death.
Yes. And he picks up, he has him dead to rights. He picks up the glider, and this is a man, this is a kick in the teeth where I thought something was going to happen.
Toby comes in and
stops him. Because
this was an emotional punch even before what happens, because you're just like, God, that's so good. Because he's like, don't become this. Don't become,
it helps because we know that Toby lets him die in Spider-Man 1.
Right.
He flips over the glider.
He dies
by the glider.
I know. So it's really emotional, and you see him look there, and he's like, I'm not going to let you do this to yourself.
And Tom Holland agrees with him and puts it down.
But Willem Goblin stabs him with a knife. I don't understand. Spidey sense? How did he let that happen?
I mean,
he should have been able to sense a knife coming at his back, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Unless
he was, the theory is that he could, his senses could have been clouded given.
Okay. I think that's a little questionable.
It is a little
Spider-Man.
Bit,
that
yeah.
He
especially
also did have his hands.
The oldest Spider-Man who has the most experience.
Right.
I mean, the Spidey sense is pretty established as being able to detect.
The only thing
I
can think is it was a crime of opportunity, and he struck quickly.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't thinking to do it. He saw the moment and he seized it, and it just
happened.
It didn't set off the spider sense because it was like he wasn't thinking about doing it, and then he was, and he did it. Okay. And they're just
we do know the goblin is fast.
Yeah,
superhuman fast.
I mean, does goblin serum makes him be able to go toe to toe with Spider-Man,
right?
Who's super strength. So yeah, and we get good fight scenes.
I gotta tell you, in this scene, I was like, oh, these bastards! They've just killed. I mean, if any of them is going to die, right, that one makes sense.
Kill the one that you're least likely to get back again.
Don't kill our heroes. Like, we've talked about this before. Like,
there needs to be stakes.
There do need to be stakes, but don't bring them back and do all this and then kill them off. Like, they didn't need to, and it worked.
I don't know.
Ultimately, if they want them back, they can bring them back. They can just pull them in from
a different Spider-Man comes, shows up.
They can, but I'm just saying, we didn't need them to die. Like, you brought them back. Come on. These are our heroes. We love them. We read comics not for them to die. Like, come on.
Yeah, no, I mean, when they killed May.
Yeah, those are stakes. Well, we're getting people dying, but like,
the cards are off the table, right? Yeah. So you could kill Tobey Maguire. Yeah. Spoilers, they don't.
But anyway, the point is the head fake works because we know there are stakes, but I'm glad they didn't.
And rather than...
He's like, are you okay? Yeah, I've been stabbed before.
I've been stabbed before by this character.
Oh, but the point is that you do this cool thing where it almost looks like he's going to stab him in the neck with a knife or something. Like, you don't know what's happening, but Andrew Garfield swings by, throws something at him, and Tom Holland grabs it in one swipe and gets him in the neck.
Right.
But then
he hits him with the goblin juice.
Oh, they've got the serum.
Yeah,
he's cured. And he, of course, Goblin's like, Norman's like, what have I done?
What have I done? So now that the villains are taken care of, the multiverse has started to crack open.
And Strange comes back, and he's like, you just love me hanging above the Grand Canyon for 4 days or something.
I do like the Tom McGuire's like, you saw the Grand Canyon?
Yeah. Oh, no. I like it that they don't know what's going on. I was like, shouldn't you have been helping them? You're just hanging out at the Grand Canyon? And he's so mad.
Yeah, right.
So freaking upset. But I like that Zendaya, or we should say MJ and Ned are like, no, he's almost done. Like, look what he's done. And
Strange is like, oh, dang.
Wow.
Okay.
He has.
One of these, which if you look into the clouds, you can see the Scorpion and you can see the Rhino.
Oh,
and you can see these characters are starting to drift, come from
more
the other.
Coming in to get him than no, just like our villains we see here have. And so Strange is like, we're screwed. Like,
that's it. So Peter Parker decides, he's like, but what if everybody forgets me? And Strange is like, what? He's like, everybody I've ever interacted with, what if everybody forgets who Peter Parker is? And he was like, you realize what you're giving up, right? And he was like, I know, but it's the only way to save this, to save them. Yeah. And that's the spell.
This is the Peter that, like, he's been through some stuff, so this was his arc. But, like, this is the one that he should have, in the beginning, he should have been responsible enough to be like, hey, this is what I have to sacrifice for my friends and everybody.
Right.
So, like, he finally has learned, like, look, I've screwed things up enough. I need to save my friends. I need to set things right. And
that's what happens. And everybody forgets who, all of our heroes go back. Like,
but he has a nice talk with the Spider-Man. Thank you so much for helping me. They,
I wouldn't be here without you.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of spot on.
And then he goes and talks to Ned and MJ, has a nice talk, does his handshake with Ned. And he tells MJ, he's like, you're going to forget me, but I'm going to find you.
I'm going to find you. I'm going to fix this.
What if, what if you don't? Whatever. It's a really good interaction. Yeah. He's like, I'll find you.
So Strange casts the spell.
Nice knowing you, kid.
Yep, which is good. And yep. So that means that no, like, all of the Avengers don't know who he is. Like,
well, Spider-Man exists. People just don't know who Peter Parker is.
Correct. Correct.
So it doesn't change, like, the whole history of Spider-Man existing. And
he was part
happened.
Of the Avengers.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man
cool,
was part of the Avengers.
Which is great. No one knows who Peter Parker is again.
Right.
It opens up endless possibilities.
It puts you back. It puts Peter Parker back at square yeah. one, which is what I think is going.
We're
going
to get yeah. a struggling photographer. He's going to go work for.
He's
going
to be.
Bugle.
He's
going
to go to Empire State University.
Yeah.
You know, like that's cool. that's the thing. And so yeah, so everything goes back to normal. We see that Peter walks in. He's rehearsing a speech. He walks into the car. I wish he goes to Gwen's grave. Not yet.
Oh, God. Can we just mention real quick, though? I think maybe my favorite and most heartbreaking or, like, emotional moments is when Andrew saves Zendaya, MJ.
Oh, the way that he didn't save her.
That,
yeah,
yes.
right.
That was that a nice was redemption moment.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, like, for the fans.
Where
and
she's,
the callback.
And even she's like, are you okay? And he was like,
yeah,
because
he's
I'm
crying.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I think that was a beautiful moment
it was.
To call that back and give him the opportunity to fix what he's been struggling with his
totally.
Entire time. Like, that is.
I'm just glad they didn't turn his web into a hand. Man, I hate that part of that movie. It's so annoying.
I loved it. I think that was amazing.
I agree.
How they
I
did
agree.
That, though, that he got yeah. to save
I saw
her.
A theory that, like, maybe his turn, like, the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man goes dark after Spider-Man 2, because mm-hmm. he says he's like, I wasn't.
Well, he said that. Yeah,
I wasn't in a good place.
No, yeah. He
and
says
I stopped,
like
I
he
stopped pulling my punches.
Into, yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he goes to May's. No, he goes to May's grave, and we see the interaction with him and Happy, where you think like, does Happy know? And then of course he doesn't.
I lost a friend. How'd you know her from shelter?
Through Spider-Man.
Yeah, through Spider-Man.
Yeah,
which is heartbreaking because they both lost Iron Man, and they can't talk. Like besides from May, like he's like, I lost another friend.
Yeah, this poor guy, Peter Parker, can't catch a break.
He can't.
His father, his mom is gone.
Yeah.
Well, that's
dad.
Always Peter Parker,
that
though, right?
Exactly
he can't
right.
Catch a break.
Can't catch a break.
I mean, that's what's yeah. so frustrating about him being Iron Man Jr. is like, no, I want to see Peter Parker struggling, but
well,
he's
guess
smart.
What?
And, yeah,
you're gonna get it
right. Yeah. That's what's yeah. perfect. look like he's gonna.
Well, that's the other thing. Well, and I'll, yeah. I'll get there. But yeah, he goes to the coffee shop where MJ worked, has that interaction with her, and she has a moment where you think maybe she might recognize him and
yeah.
then she doesn't. No. I thought her and Ned were going to be together.
I thought too. And
that's
I
what
thought
I, that's
that
where I thought
yeah.
we were going. And I was but like, oh, talk about a kick.
They both got an MIT now.
Yep.
So that worked out. And they're, you know, they're friends. She's getting Ned his donut and all that and stuff. And they just have this really nice moment where she's just kind of like, she's shy, like the MJ we saw in the first movie, you know,
right.
like she's doing her thing where she's friendly, but she's also like kind of looking down. She's shy and, you know, they're having a nice interaction and she's just kind of like, okay, well,
all right.
thanks.
He's
here's
like, okay,
coffee.
See ya.
And
I'll
like
see you around.
I'm Peter Parker. Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Peter
I have a
Parker.
For Peter Parker. It's a really cute interaction without yeah. being like a romantic meet cute.
And it
right?
also shows you the difficulty, like, because you're thinking, well, just go back and say I'm Peter Parker. I'm, you know,
yeah.
but like, it's not that simple.
No.
There's a whole history that doesn't exist
yeah.
for her anymore.
And he puts his card away with his notes and he's like,
yep.
I'm going to do this.
Because they both have these good lives. Well, they also
yeah.
have these good lives.
Yeah.
And he knows he'll screw it up.
Well, that's, I like where she kind of pushes her hair back and she can see the bandage on her head
yeah.
and realizes that like I caused that. Like,
but that's
I
the lesson,
her,
right?
That's
just,
the
just,
lesson.
Just
yep.
like he set the spell to forget him, he sees that and he goes, I'm going to do the responsible thing
right.
now, you know,
and walk away. Yeah.
You know, he learns a lot in this movie to their credit. Like he makes some questionable decisions that are frustrating because it sets the stuff into motion. But by the end, he learns his lesson.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's
hero's
like,
journey.
A hero's
yeah,
journey, exactly.
Like Star-Lord. Remember how irritating it was that Star-Lord caused all that crap?
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, and Infinity War?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they kind of do the same thing, which I think is why it's frustrating. He's like, oh, we've seen this. Like, stop messing stuff up. But
now he doesn't.
But that's
so,
what people do.
I know.
Especially an 18-year-old.
It is
yeah.
human.
You know?
That's what I mean. He's a kid, so I get it. But
yeah, so he goes into what looks like the apartment from Spider-Man 2.
I thought it was going to be the
I did
the
as
Russian
well.
Guy.
Yep, yep.
Was that 2 or 3?
That was 2.
Was it 2?
Yeah.
The Russian guy and the daughter and everything?
Yeah, that's okay. 2. Because remember MJ comes running in her
yeah. okay.
wedding gown
but
to
But man,
the apartment.
I wish they had that guy be the landlord.
Yeah. Rent. And he opens the door and we see this tiny little apartment, mm-hmm. very Spider-Man, very,
yeah.
you know, and he's making a new suit and we get to see it's, I didn't realize this listening to Binge Movies pointed this out that it's May's dress. the blue in the costume nice. is one of May's dresses.
It was very shiny to where I was like, that's interesting. Like the colors were classic, yeah. But I'm like, that's interesting, the material.
But it's, okay. Yeah, it's part of May. It's May's outfit.
But we get like
comic book accurate, bright, mm-hmm. which I think in the pantheon of superhero costumes, there are few that are more perfect than Spider-Man's.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It is a perfect costume.
I like his...
I liked the Civil War suit. Like, I like the updated with the black and the stuff, but...
I want blue and red. His suit was cool. His new suit has been cool with the black and red. I want blue and red.
I agree. No. I mean, so when he first shows up in Civil War...
Oh, yeah,
he's
that
got
one's
like
blue
the,
and
like
red.
The with black, black. With
yes,
like the
yes,
black
yes.
on it.
With the web, right?
Yeah, web, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It also sets up for, like, why he would move so quickly to the symbiote suit, because he's making it out of cloth, which isn't going to hold up very yeah. well.
Nope.
So
sure not.
So like it that
yeah,
yeah lays
yeah.
the groundwork
which means,
for why he wants something better.
The fact that Marvel was like, yeah, we'll put him in the movie.
Yeah, this is cool. So
he's swinging through the city in the red and blue costume, having a
this
good
is our
time.
Reboot. Like they've already rebooted
and they've rebooted
themselves.
They've rebooted their MCU Spider-Man inside
yeah,
their own
right.
universe. So. This does open the door for a Gwen Stacy, a Harry mm-hmm. Osborn, a Norman Osborn, a different MJ, maybe. Probably not, but maybe.
No, because this one is MJ.
Yeah.
She's just
I do
Mary,
like that.
She's
no,
just,
it's Michelle Jones
Michelle
Watson.
Jones.
That's what I mean, Michelle
yeah.
Jones Watson.
Yeah,
so
not Mary
it,
Jane
she is
Watson.
MJ. It's just this universe's version. They're not going to have two MJs.
Yeah.
This is MJ.
I'm just saying, if they wanted to.
But they can't replace this MJ.
They can. They could do whatever they want.
But they can't.
I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Do you know the outrage?
I think,
well, first of all, he's dating
yes.
MJ, so not going to happen.
If it were me, what I would do is I would bring in the Black Cat. There's your love interest.
Yeah.
Felicia
yeah,
Hardy
Felicia,
can be
yeah,
can come in, or Gwen Stacy can come in.
Yeah.
Either one can come in at this
but I
point.
I think you're going to get Felicia, you're going to get Gwen, you're going to get the typical spider
yeah.
rogues.
Yeah, and, which I think yeah. is. And then that's kind of how
interest.
This one ends. And then we talked about the Venom thing,
yeah,
where
you know,
a piece
kind
of the symbiote gets left behind.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I love that they got rid of him.
Yeah.
That's great. But also, and, like, as far as post-credits go, I'm like, it was just a Venom post-credit, like this Venom.
Well, I think the post-credit is the trailer, is the Mouth of Madness trailer.
Yeah, but then that's a lame post-credit, too. I'm just I always wanted some meteor that was, like, actually enjoyable.
Right.
But to their credit, they got rid of Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
So
and it is setting up that Venom's in this world, like
right.
it's, you know what I mean. They,
Venom, yeah.
So I mean, it is. I think maybe a little
yeah.
meatier than you're giving it credit for. It's just you have an instant visceral reaction
yes.
to seeing the
that
Venom,
Venom,
that Venom,
I
which I totally understand. But I do think it's a little bit
yeah.
meatier than you're giving.
The
it credit
best
for.
Thing is that at least that so Tom Hardy disappears because he knew Peter Parker was Spider-Man. That's what brought him in.
Oh.
And then he forgot.
No,
so
he didn't. There is no Peter Parker. That's to your point, though. There is no Peter Parker in the Venom verse. He only sees Peter Parker after he's been transported to the MCU.
Oh, that was after? Because I knew he saw the news.
He
thing,
does.
I thought that's...
So he's wherever he is. He gets the multiverse thing washes over him, and he's in a different
room.
That's
the problem, because stupid Sony right. had to try to bring him in, but at least they could undo it by the rules. They're like, well, he saw Peter Parker with Spider-Man on the news report, so
yeah,
he gets to
leave.
Why he's brought in
the Venomverse, there is no Peter yeah. Parker that we know of.
Well,
there
right.
probably is somewhere.
Yeah,
but.
Probably. But so, yeah, I don't know how he gets there, but he's out.
He's out.
But he leaves behind the symbiote.
And the other good thing, beyond just taking him out, is this creates a plot device to where Sony can kind of do whatever they want, and it doesn't ultimately screw up the Marvel
yes.
universe.
Correct.
Right? Like, that's always been the big problem.
They could kill their Peter Parker if they wanted to.
Do whatever they want.
Don't care.
And Sony can still, or
you know,
Marvel can
would,
still make it work.
You know what would be interesting is if Venom's Spider-Man is Miles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could do that.
But they're yeah. going to want to bring him into MCU.
Oh, for sure.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
For
that's the
sure.
Is, man, wait until you get that and see what kind of box
I was debating.
You
do. Know, it's funny. I'm sitting on the first appearance of Miles Morales, Ultimate Fallout number 4.
Yeah.
Keep sitting.
And yeah. And I was like, maybe I'll move it. And then I was like, oh,
that
wait.
Character's not getting any less popular with the new
Spider-Verse. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I got to wait.
Comes in like, you just wait.
Yeah. They I think they've got plans for that character
yeah,
for sure.
Big time.
So. But yeah, this was great.
This is a, you were absolutely right when you said it's a perfect comic book movie.
It really is. It's
yeah.
I mean, mean, it's just a gem.
I want to see it again when I'm not sitting there going, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. I haven't smiled at a movie like that in a long time, where I was just like smile as like, this is cool, and I can't believe that they're pulling this off.
Yeah.
Like, this should not work. I mean, all these villains in one movie, it should be a train wreck. It should, and it's not. And I think some of it is because we already know the villains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, so there is
They've introduced them, like with the Avengers.
Right.
They already had their individual
and
movies.
So I don't need a 30-minute origin story for each superhero or each supervillain. But this should not have worked on paper.
Nope.
And it's just beautiful.
I think you have to give them credit because we go, well, of course they can pull this off. They're Marvel and Feige. They pulled off a 22-film you know, conclusion, right? So, like, but if you sit back and forget what they've done before and on paper what they pull off with this, no one's ever done anything like this. I mean, to Joe's point earlier, just like how Endgame was an amazing, ambitious project, bringing in different franchises, all the same people, tying them together like on paper with rights, all that stuff.
Three rebooted movies
in one film, and it works.
And it's unbelievable. Like, that's why I say sitting there, I'm like, do people
this
realize what they're doing?
Yeah.
Like, they're doing this. We're getting this. Like, we
Spider Spider-Verse is I think Spider-Verse is the best Spider-Man movie ever made. But like, those were not established characters, right? They're just here's a scummy Spider-Man, here's Miles,
they
here's
made
Gwen,
it work,
here's,
but they had
there's no history behind the shackles of what
came before in the same way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where this one's like, you know those three live action Spider-Mans that you love? Go check out our movie.
We'll give them to you all at once.
All at once.
Before this year, did you ever say, oh, yeah, we're going to see Tobey Maguire in a Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
No.
Did you think you're going to see Andrew Garfield? I mean, the fact that we got this, like, fans are so lucky.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And it's like,
kids don't even know how good you have it.
When I look at Vudu when they have things on sale, I'm always like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll pick up the Spider-Man movies, the Tobey Maguire ones when they're cheap. And it's like, but I always kind of skip the Andrew Garfield ones. Now I'm like, no, the next time they're on sale, I'll snag those.
You'll love it when they elevate.
Yeah.
We do have episodes. If you go back in the feed somewhere, there is a Spider. I don't think there's an Amazing Spider-Man. I think that came out in 2012. There's definitely an Amazing Spider-Man 2 episode. And
I think we did both.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Did we?
Yeah, because it came out after Man of Steel. There's no way there was a Spider-Man movie and we didn't do it.
No. That's true. I guess I thought that Man of Steel was 2013.
It is.
But that was our first episode, so we couldn't have done the
Amazing
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man came out before.
I think it's 2012.
Oh, okay.
I definitely liked
the first one.
I did too.
It was pointless, but I liked it. Like, we didn't need another origin story, but the second one was not very good.
Not very good. There's got some good parts.
It does,
but not very good overall. But there's an episode in the feed somewhere.
Sure.
For number two.
for number two. If you want to scroll back to 2014.
Well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/real spoiler. So that's it for this one. No idea what we're doing next time, but we'll probably circle back around and do West Side again.
No,
because Joe loved it so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, next week is
The Matrix.
Matrix.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I still haven't seen the
other
two.
Christmas, so we'll have to figure that out.
So anyway, we'll figure out something. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, the Jennings family goes back to San Francisco.
Get ready for a spoiler. Say it twice, 'cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.